the good news, sharing the gospel. Be children of light. That was the other immediately that came to me. And so children with light, it was like instantaneous. I knew this was going to be the first painting I wanted to do because it was just something that was like sitting there in my heart always to do. And then all of a sudden, it was like, this is the time I was waiting for, you know, to
well, it's
share
beautiful.
That.
Hear more from Morgan at familyminute.org.
Good morning and welcome to City Talk right here on K1, the one you trust. It is 9:30 and we are at 50 degrees, bright sunshiny day. And Mr. Bailey, how are you doing there, young man?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Well, you know, it's Monday. I'm on the right side of the grass, so I think I'm doing good.
We're off to a good start then.
Yeah, we are.
Just hope we can finish it the same.
As long as I can fog a mirror, I'm with you. I'm good.
That's a good outlook. That's a really good outlook.
My age, boy, I tell you.
You just never know, right? Well, that's a kind of an interesting lead-in to the first thing that I had to talk about. Is actually talk about the mausoleum stories. And I found that, just sorry, that was a pretty good segue there. I couldn't pass it up. But I don't know, I don't think you've been in town long enough to have experienced this, but this is something that the White Rose Cemetery puts on every year out at our mausoleum, which I'm blanking out on the name of the mausoleum right now. It has its own name, but I can't. Anyway, there is a mausoleum in the White Rose Cemetery. Every year they put on a play out there, and it is, they bring in actors to portray famous Bartlesville people, famous Bartians from throughout. Actually had some really cool figures this year, not necessarily the ones that you would expect. They have somebody portraying Frank Phillips Butler, which if you know anything about him, he was a Japanese immigrant who had served Frank Phillips and actually was a millionaire when he retired. So
I'll be.
He had quite a story. There's someone is playing, I believe it was Sheila Bitness is going to be portrayed, one of the Overleys, and of course some of the more notable historical figures as well. Mm-hmm. But all this happens out at the mausoleum. If you've never been into the mausoleum, it is a great opportunity. That is not something that everybody gets to do, except for at this time of year. This is the only time that I'm aware of that it's open to the public. So $10 each for tickets. They can be obtained at the library, and they are available, or the shows will be October 25th through the 27th. I believe that's a Friday through a Sunday. So it really is a neat event, so I'd encourage everybody to attend if they have any interest in Bartlesville history. You can hear it right there in the middle of a cemetery. What better place to learn about history?
There you go.
And we can all hopefully stay above the grass.
There we go. And there's that.
there's that. So the council actually had a meeting. I guess it would have been was that Tuesday or Monday? For some reason I was thinking it was Tuesday, but it was last Monday. So they had a city council meeting last Monday. One of the items that was on there, I know this has been a hot topic in Bartlesville actually ever since the Kmart closed, is what's next? What's going to happen with that Kmart building? So the council approved an incentive that was brought to them by David Wood, who's the president of the Bartlesville Development Authority. He was requesting approval, and it was about $204,000 is what they were going to get. They are going to turn the Kmart into 5 different storefronts. And this is something we should all be excited about because, of course, that has sat there idle for a long time. And eventually would have become somewhat unsightly. So it really is a great thing to have redevelopment going on in these areas. Similar to Eastland across the street, it's exciting to have all that happening.
It is. I mean, it looks really good at that intersection. Now with that coming along, it's going to just look absolutely spectacular once it's finished.
Yeah, and a great corner. You know, it really is. That's an extremely busy corner, so we... if anyone was curious why it took so long, what we have been told is that Kmart was on the hook for lease payments to the owners of the building well past the time at which they closed the store. So there was no real hurry to redevelop it. The developer we're dealing with now has purchased it, and the stores that we know for sure that are going in there at this point in time is Ollie's Bargain Outlet, Burke's Outlet, and a Tuesday Morning. The other one that we expect is a Dollar Tree will go in there, and then there is one other storefront that they've not told us what that is. There's always a lot of curiosity on how these incentives are calculated, and we'd really have to bring David Wood in to talk about it in depth, but that may be more than most people want to hear. But when we're talking about retail development, cities and the Bartlesville Development Authority, they operate off of sales tax. And so when David calculates this, what he does is he calculates how much he expects them to bring in sales tax in any given year. So all of these stores, and by the way, excluding the Dollar Tree because we already have one. So the incentive was only based on the three stores that we know that are new to town. And when he calculated this, there is an assumption that I believe about 80% of their sales will come from somewhere else. So people say, oh, they're just taking from somewhere else, and then you guys are giving them sales tax money back. Well, we're not. We know that. We know that there will be a certain degree of taking from existing stores. So I think it's 80% is the assumption. So whatever their sales are, whatever he assumes their sales are, he assumes only 20% of that will be new. So that 20% is what becomes eligible for an incentive. And then he splits whatever sales tax they gain in that 20% with the city. So really, it's a very small portion of what we expect these stores to bring in sales tax. And it really is a very conservative approach. So I think that the Bartlesville Development Authority and the City Council have decided on this policy years ago, and it really is very conservative. So this was one of the easier incentives I think the council has done to bring these three stores in. Tuesday morning, if I remember right, was one of them that was expected to be part of another development that we incentivized, the Silver Lake Villages. Don't you remember that being mentioned at the time?
There's a few of them were thrown out there. I really can't recall.
That was, and it may have been that it was part of, I think it was actually part of phase two of that never happened with the academy. I think it was something that was supposed to go with that. So that was one that we've been after for a while. So again, very exciting to take a dead corner and turn it into a little bit of a shopping center.
And anytime you can keep people interested in shopping at home instead of
Absolutely.
Wanting to get on the road and go elsewhere, that's a very good thing.
That is critical for us as a city to have those offerings. And there's always a couple of different areas that we're interested in. One, we operate off of sales tax, and so in order to do the streets and the libraries and to pay the police and the firefighters, we have to have sales tax in order to do it. So it matters to us from that perspective. It also matters in that one of the gaps that the citizens of Bartlesville had identified that caused them to want to live elsewhere was a lack of retail. So that was several years ago. I think about 6 years ago we completed a study and discovered that. And so the BDA has worked very hard since then to try to help to fill that gap. So anyway, great news. We're very excited about it. As I said, we've watched that store just kind of sit there and deteriorate with no end in sight. So we were very excited to discover that this was happening, and it opens up a lot of possibilities in that area.
Very good. Very good indeed.
Well, and Chief, how long ago was it that we had the Bartlesville Firefighter of the Year banquet? Was that a week ago Friday?
October 4th.
So it was a little over a week ago, about 9 days ago. I was fortunate enough to be able to attend the Firefighter of the Year banquet with the chief, and it really was a great night. This is something that the department used to do. Actually, maybe the union used to put on. I think you and I've talked the history. It actually might have started with the Examiner.
Years ago there was an organization in town. I believe it was the Exchange Club. I don't know if they're still around or not.
They
may be. And if they are, I'm sorry.
That's not what I'm aware of.
They used to recognize one of our members. The membership would vote on them, but they would kind of, foot the bill for the banquet and the plaque and stuff. And then a few years later, with the local union, they took it over and was doing that. And the last few years, it's kind of something that had kind of fell through the cracks and wasn't getting done. So we decided we wanted to start recognizing some of our members for jobs well done. And so so this year was. Actually, I think maybe the first year that I can remember that we actually picked that up.
That the city had hosted
that. And it was a good evening. And
really was good evening.
I think we had three different nominees for that. John Spicer was equipment operator at Station 3. Adam Butterfield, captain at Central Fire Station. And then we had Brady Watson, who is a firefighter at Station 3, who was one the membership voted in, and was an excellent choice. Brady's he's the commander of the Honor Guard. Just a good guy, good family man, just all around good person. And we was pleased to have him to honor that night.
And like so many other firefighters, I believe he has a brother that works for the department.
Yep, Brandon. He's got a brother that works here, Brandon Watson. He also is stationed at Station 3 I think he's on C shift, who's on today. So anyway, yeah, we've got a family affair for those guys out there.
And that's common, of course, in both the police and the fire, but I was glad to see him honor Brady, and I know that you've talked highly about him, especially the fact that the service and the time that he's put in as the commander of the Honor Guard has been pretty awesome to watch.
Yeah, and for people that don't know, that those guys, all their time is volunteered. I mean, they volunteer their time if they're not on duty, and most of the stuff they participate in is on their off-duty time, and they volunteer that. We don't pay those guys, and they really do an excellent job.
Yep, they do.
If anybody has seen them, I think they posted the colors at the high school football game, I think, Friday night, I believe. So anyway, yeah, they do an excellent job. Yeah,
very, very excited to have that unit and proud of him. And, honestly, just proud of the department for the way they turned out. And it really, you and your staff put that together. And I'm sure you had a lot of help, but
had a lot of help.
Really, really was a great event. We had both the mayor and I believe we had Councilman Stewart.
Yep.
So we had two city council members that night.
Yeah, that's right. I was thinking that there was another, but I guess it was just those two.
I don't think anybody else was able to make it, but Councilman Stewart came with his wife, had several members of HR, so it really was, it was a cool event, and we look forward to doing that again next year.
One of the cool things was the fact that you had so many who had been there for a long time.
Oh, the service awards were awesome, weren't they?
Oh, they certainly were. That's a long time of willing to run into a burning building as to run out.
Yeah, I misspoke. my old accountant here, my city manager, when I said what I thought, okay, that was not correct. But we had 19 members that had over 20 years of service.
Wow. It's unbelievable.
Probably half of those are over 30, or real close to that. So, yeah, there's a lot of people there that got a lot of experience on the department.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is good to see, and it's also good to see the young guys so that we have that. We have that constant stream of new blood coming in, so the department seems to be in good shape, and that night just sort of highlighted it.
Yeah, and we also went back and we recognized our past firefighters of the year that were still with the department. Yeah. And
so there were a number of them.
Yeah, there's several that were still there. So
again, good night, and look forward to that next year, and look forward to the award of another firefighter of the year about a year from now.
Yeah.
And Chief, speaking of, well, I've got you here. We've got a couple of other things. I believe October, we had a week here that was Fire Prevention Week.
Yeah, last week was Fire Prevention Week, and we always bring in the first graders. So we brought every first grader in the Barnesville Public School District.
Quite an adventure to bring all of them in there.
To Central Fire Station. We didn't bring them all in one day. We bust them in over the course of the week, and along with the first graders from St. John's. And we had close to 500 first graders come through Central Fire Station last week.
And you guys absolutely seem to love that. I mean, they really get into it.
Yeah, we have a lot of guys that participate on their off day, come in and help with that. And we've got a smoke machine. We smoke up the weight room down there and have them crawl through it. And the kids just love it. I mean, I'm at my office. I just hear this huge roar downstairs. I think, okay, they're here.
They're here.
Time to hide.
and do they get to slide down the ladder?
I don't. Down the slides?
Yeah.
Slide.
Down the slide, sorry.
I'm sure some of them do. If they want to, I'm sure the guys will let them go, I'm sure some of them probably did.
I just hope the guys didn't wax the slide before they did it. Because you come out of there about 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
As all of us have discovered. and Chief, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, we had a ceremony for a push-in ceremony, which for people who don't know, that's sort of a ceremony for bringing in a new vehicle into the fire department.
Yeah, I don't know who started that tradition, but I guess it's one that's been going on across the country for some time, and our guys wanted to start it here. And basically what you do, you transfer the water from the old pumper into the new truck, and then you simulate pushing it in. I mean, it looks like we're pushing it, but we actually cheated a little bit and had somebody driving it with it in reverse or idling.
Yeah, for some reason it was making the beeping noises. Yeah. We were pushing it in.
They just weigh about 50,000 pounds. So that's if we'd had Jason there, maybe him and him, Mike, and they may be able to help us get it in there.
But. We ran out of room. We couldn't have fit another person on that, but that was a pretty neat ceremony. Pushed it into the garage, gave it its first wash.
Yeah. And we'll get better at that. That was our first time to do that. But this truck was one of the last of the new pumpers on this last bond issue that the public voted in. It's stationed at Station 3 on Madison Tuxedo. So it's a really nice truck. We thank everybody for helping us buy that. You know, we couldn't do it without the people's support here in the community. So it's a... It's something we needed. It replaced a truck that was a 95 model, so it was due.
Yeah, 95 model. So that one was a little over 20 years old, and we've had some others that we've replaced that were significantly older than that. I think we had one that was replaced that was an 80s model.
Yeah, I can't remember now. Probably
may have been a couple of trucks ago.
This truck would have been 24 years old, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's a, and that's typical. We usually have them in service for around 20 years, and sometimes they go into a reserve status for 3 or 4 years. So,
glad to have that. Glad to have it here in service. It's quite a process just to purchase one of those. It takes essentially from the time that we decide we're going to buy one, you got to go through a bid process, which in itself takes 30 to 60 days, and then how long does it take to build one of them?
It takes about a year to build one.
You don't go pick one up from the lot and drive it home?
No, not very often. You're
shattering my illusions.
Yeah, it'd be nice if you could. And you know, sometimes they do have stock units that are available, but most departments are size paid departments, and they custom build them, and everybody wants something a little different. So it typically takes 360 days or so to get one,
A process.
Yeah, it is a process.
We're glad to have that one in, and I'm glad that I don't have to push it any farther than I fake pushed it the other day. That's all I had.
And I want to mention a little bit about our arson.
Yeah, case. we had something that just came up within the last couple of weeks here.
Yeah, we had an arson fire at the Brookhaven Apartments. It's probably been back in 17, I think it's fall of 17, we arrested a guy, and he was sentenced to life in prison for first-degree arson just this last week. He will probably serve close to 38 years in jail. And we also have a person in jail right now, Michael Hennaby, who is suspected of setting 14 arson fires in the Jane Phillips edition from July of 17 to about February of 18. He's in jail now. He has confessed to one of those fires, and some of the others that we suspect him of were set in a similar pattern. So he is now in our jail,
he was the one that we had an arrest warrant out for, and he was actually arrested and charged in California for.
Yes, he was
for some arson, car arsons there.
Yes, he had. They had him on video, from what I understand, lighting 5 vehicle fires in a similar manner that our structure fires here in Oklahoma was being set. They convicted him of 5 counts. He was suspected for 47 counts. Giving 340 days, he served half of that. They let him out, and we escorted him back to Oklahoma.
We brought him home.
Yeah,
we
brought
him home. Do the same again here. Yeah. These are very frightening things. You said that the first one that was just sentenced, that was an arson fire at Brookhaven apartment complex.
Yeah, in an apartment complex that had people in it,
full
that,
of families and children, and it's just a high density area. And what an incredibly dangerous thing. The guy that's in jail right now awaiting trial, his were all vacant homes, but frankly, there's no way that he could have known that those were vacant homes. So this is, both of these were incredibly dangerous acts, and I'm glad to hear that that justice is being done on both of those.
Well, it was our arson investigators. They did an excellent job on this. I mean, our arson investigator right away thought he knew how those fires were being set, which it just, it's pretty amazing that you can find that type of evidence, you know, and he was right. He nailed it. I mean, he was right.
Yeah.
He hit the nail right on the head exactly how those fires were being set.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, hopefully we'll put this guy away for a long time also.
Very excited to have that behind us.
Well, it was a scary time for those people that lived over in that area. I mean, they was waking up to structure fires, you know, in their neighborhoods. Some of them two at a time. We'd just get one out and leave it and go to another.
Incredibly uncommon for us to have.
Absolutely.
Have these kind of things.
Hopefully, we'll get a conviction on this, and people will think twice about lighting fires in the city of Bartlesville.
I certainly hope so. Well, thank you, Chief. I appreciate that update, and I'm glad to know that one is well in hand, and we'll wait final word on our most recent one as well. I also have Jason Munninger here with me. He's the finance director and treasurer for the city of Bartlesville, and when we put Jason on this, we set up our sort of who's going to be on the radio on what day. We don't always know exactly what's going to happen. It just so happened that at our last council meeting, we ended up with two pretty significant financial issues. Why don't we talk about the water plant refinancing first?
Pretty exciting times in accounting and finance.
If
you
find
debt restructuring and bond issuance exciting, which most people probably won't. But.
You should.
So we were brought with the opportunity to refinance the note we have on our water treatment plant, which I'm not certain how many of our listeners out there understand that was a $35, $40 million project.
That's right.
And at the time, we probably got a pretty decent interest rate on that. Times have changed. Interest rates are sitting at near lows, and we're looking to save about 1.5% on a restructure. This can save us $170,000 a year annually.
So that's every year.
And that's till 2036 is the remainder of the debt service on that.
And so that was the great news, is that what we're proposing to do, and granted we still have to wait till the bids come back and see how the interest rates are, but what's being proposed to do is that won't change the term at all on this. So
really
it'll still pay
the structure,
off.
We're really just changing who we're paying it to and the amount that we're paying.
So we'll still pay on the same dates. Yeah. We'll still make the same number of payments. So it really was a great opportunity. Yeah. So
save the city and the citizens, taxpayers.
That's right.
Close to $3 to $4 million. $4 million best case scenario, $3 million worst case scenario.
So over that span of
time. Win-win situation. Really.
It really is. And of course, we have some big capital projects coming up in both water and wastewater.
Yeah,
so whatever we can do now.
Looking at another $50 million water treatment plant currently down the road. And then
$1 million
for water reuse projects. So we got, frees up some cash for debt service on those
some
projects.
Debt service. That really does help out. That helps to control people's water bills, so it really does matter to everybody who is a citizen of Bartlesville.
Any customer. Those services.
That's right.
Within city limits. So,
we also had another financial issue that night. We issued this will be just about the last tranche of bonds. I think we'll have one more after this, but this was probably our last large one, and it was about $3 million in bonds. And we should reiterate that this isn't new bonds. These are bonds we're issuing, but they were authorized back in what year was that, guys? That we actually had that. Do you remember, Micah?
2018.
That was the election we held in 2018. So this is some of the last of those that are left out of that. And I said 3 million. It was about 2.6 million.
We have 3.7.
Yeah,
3.8
that are
left.
And we're going to issue about 2.6 out of
this tranche.
So, and why don't you talk a little bit about the major projects and what people can expect to see out of that?
Well, the timing's perfect because we have some storm sewer issues that have come up here recently. So we have roughly $600,000 going to some storm sewer projects. The other big items we're sitting here looking at, some equipment purchases, Gradalls, Pathfinder, another Pathfinder project. And then kind of looking down through here.
$350,000.
Yeah, we have a splash pad.
Right.
Kind of going through.
Some
That's
parking,
really
some parking improvements in our parks.
Yeah,
we're
trying to get rid of some of the
things.
Gravel lots we have, and then go back with the, I don't know if we're asphalt or concrete panel. I know we get more bang for our buck with asphalt than we do with the concrete. Then we're looking at street project. Cut ahead. I'm sure Mike is going to lead back to these projects as we get going on to his turn.
Wasn't planning on it.
Okay.
Oh, that's good, because he's only got 5 minutes left.
All right. So that's how I just sort of think.
I can.
Trying to find some really highly visible stuff people see, but this one's this issue here isn't going to have a lot of highly visible things.
No, it'll probably be the things that the voters will notice the most will be the Johnstone splash pad and the, I think, cut of hay for anybody that uses that.
Yeah, that's a pretty decent-sized project.
Micah, that was both an asphalt and a concrete section of cut of hay, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Between what cross streets is that going to take care of?
Oh, gosh, you're going to put me on that, aren't you? I think it says on there.
Virginia to Santa Fe.
There you go.
Virginia to Santa Fe was the first one.
And Santa Fe to Johnstone.
Santa Fe to Johnstone. Yeah. So it'll actually go from Johnstone to Virginia, so it's a large section of cut of hay that's certainly due for an improvement. All right, Jason, so while I still got you here, one last thing. How was sales tax for this month?
Sales tax good, doing what it's been doing. Not a great leap, but 1.5% increase over the previous year.
That's good news.
Currently 2.1% up on the year.
That is great news. We'll take the slow and steady growth
every day
over
week.
Some of the things that we have experienced in the past. So, all right. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
My final guest we have with us is Micah Seemers. This is our engineering director. And Micah, before we jump into projects, I know we've had a couple of road closures recently, but do we have any more coming up in the near future that people need to be aware of?
So really, it's going to be associated with one of our latest street projects. So we've got the Ohio, Harvard, and Hazel asphalt rehab project. Got three streets lumped into one project.
Expect closures on all of those.
Yeah, expect closures on all those. It'll be staggered. I think they're going to work from north to south. I think they've actually started mobilizing it on Ohio today. Project actually officially starts today. So be aware of those areas. It's Ohio up there in Park Hill subdivision, and then Harvard, I guess, would be west of Madison, and then Hazel east of Madison. So those are going to be your locations. And again, they'll work north to south. I think they are notifying residents along those streets now, putting out door hangers, whatnot, with contact information, giving those people a heads up. So that'll be the newest one coming up. We have had a couple closures downtown, actually, for private things. We're actually P66 doing some work. I think last week they had it.
Both of those wrapped up.
Yeah, I think I think one's going to be happening. Yeah, you're right. That was just Saturday.
It happened on Saturday.
So I shouldn't see any more of that. So no other street closures than we already got going on. We've got Barlow, working on Barlow right now. So if you're going to visit somebody in there and you're not used to it already, there is some work on Barlow. going on concrete rehab project.
Barlow's already a bit of a confusing road. It's a loop.
It is. 1 minute you're on Barlow, the next minute you're on a different street.
And then you're back where you started.
it's kind of messy in there. So we finished up the ADA ramps on that portion. They're working on the concrete panel street rehab portion of that project now. So I mentioned the ADA portion. So, when you think of street projects now, we didn't always used to have to address handicap ramps, but now there are new laws in place that, even if we're just doing a mill and overlay, or if we're just doing concrete panel rehabs, if we're not actually touching that sidewalk, if there's a sidewalk that we have that comes up to an intersection and there's no ramp there, we are required by law now to replace that. So it's kind of cutting into our funds somewhat for some of these street projects. However, it's a good thing. It is a good thing.
It is.
I mean, it opens up access.
Everything has a cost. And correct. So when we expand what we're required to do, it means that it costs us a little bit more, or we get a little bit less done.
That's correct. So you will see on some of these street projects now, we'll start addressing some of these ramps or lack thereof at intersections and whatnot.
I noticed that. Is that Sooner Park that we just did recently?
Yes. That was the first one.
Did all the ADA ramps.
That's
there. And it really is nice. It improved the street. It improved the sidewalks through that area. So, again, I'm glad we're doing it. It's just that we always have to be aware that that means we have to plan for that as well.
That is correct. So we're shifting gears on that, and we're getting those addressed with future plans that we do put together. So the other big projects, big things that we've got going on is two projects were awarded. Actually, council chose to award last week. The Frank Phillips rehab from Sunset to Keeler, essentially. That'll be a mill and overlay on Frank Phillips, so that'll probably start as soon as possible. It's going to be dependent upon the contractor's availability.
Hopefully they can squeeze it in while it's still warm enough to do asphalt.
That's correct. We'll see. So hopefully construction the next month and a half, something like that. And then the downtown sewer project was awarded as well. So this is a continuation of what City Crews have already
done. Stormwater project, right?
That's correct. Drainage. So this is from essentially from Adams to just north of 4th Street.
That should help to alleviate all of that flooding in that downtown basin.
That's correct. We have a couple low spots there around the Price Tower, and then also at, I believe, 5th Street that have had some flooding issues, and we're trying to alleviate that with increasing capacity.
Keep it out of those buildings.
So that's correct. So those are the big things coming up now. So we're working on getting Price Fields bid again for rebid on that. And
Price Fields, when do we expect to have the bids in on that?
So we're shooting for it. Depends on when we have. Well, we'll have bids in probably November 12th. And then if we have a second council meeting in November, we'll try to get it awarded that night. If not, we'll do it the first meeting in December.
So sometime here within the next...
Next month and a half.
Yeah, month. 30 to 40 days.
That's correct. That's correct.
So we'll that award and know how we're going to proceed on that.
Get that one going. We've made some tweaks to it and should be in good shape, hopefully.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Micah. And I think anything else that anybody needs to be aware of here in the next week or two?
No, we're just going to try to tear things up and make your life difficult.
That's what we're here for.
You've been listening to City Talk on K1.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour. Real news, real reporting.